When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. All together in one place. Have those words ever meant more to us than they do today? There are about four or five of us in the sanctuary this morning. We're doing our best, offering a service of worship that you might recognize if we were all together in one place. Margaret is here on the organ. Angela and Matt and Margie are here to offer technical and vocal support. Anna and I are here to lead worship. But try as we might, it won't be the same as if we were all together in one place. We have no choir or bells, no Nexus band, soloists, or instrumentalists. Your voice isn't raised in our singing. Your laughter is absent from my jokes. The children aren't here to share their questions or insights and make us smile. The ushers aren't here to assist in our offering of worship. The greeters aren't here to greet. Barry, our bus driver, isn't waiting patiently in the narthex to make sure some of our most precious members make it home safely. The warmth of conversation over coffee, stories shared, friends greeted, fears consoled, strength found, comfort received, plans made, relationships nurtured, commitments fulfilled, love exchanged. None of this will happen. Our worship won't be the same because we aren't all together in one place. I don't think I've ever appreciated these words like I do today. No question, there is something special about being together in one place. Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew this well. In his classic work, Life Together, Bonhoeffer acknowledges, it is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world, to share God's word and sacrament. Not all Christians receive this blessing. The imprisoned, the sick, the scattered lonely, the proclaimers of the gospel in foreign lands stand alone. They know that visible fellowship is a blessing. In this season of COVID-19, many of us have grown in our appreciation for this blessing of being together in one place. We've grown as well in our understanding of the loss some of our members feel who can't be with us on the Lord's Day. By God's grace, when our new normal arrives, we will appreciate the blessing of our life together even more, and the creative ways we found to care for each other, even when we are apart, will continue. For as Bonhoeffer observed, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. But as blessed as it is for us to be together in one place, Bonhoeffer understood such cloistering isn't our calling. Jesus Christ lived in the midst of his enemies. At the end, all his disciples deserted him. On the cross, he was utterly alone, surrounded by evildoers and mockers. For this cause, he had come to bring peace to the enemies of God. So the Christian, too, belongs not in the seclusion of a cloistered life, but in the thick of foes. There is his commission, his work. As blessed as it is, the church's calling our charge isn't to stay together in one place. Our being together isn't an end. Our being together is a means. The miracle at Pentecost wasn't performed for the sake of the church. This Pentecost miracle was performed for the sake of the world. The church is calling. Our charge is to go into the world as Christ's witnesses. Yes, we celebrate the birth of the church on Pentecost. But the church wasn't born for itself. The church was born that the world might be saved. We received the power of God's Holy Spirit to proclaim God's saving power to the world, to do works even greater than Christ, that through our witness together, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This Pentecost, we see, nothing can keep us from our purpose. God's Holy Spirit can't be contained by any barrier, language, culture, religion, race, gender, age, or even disease. Even when we can't be together in one place, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, our witness extends to the ends of the earth. Maybe they were drunk. No, I don't believe that. I've witnessed the work of the Spirit too often to doubt. Pentecost still amazes me. I'm just bewildered. We've been given the power of God's Holy Spirit. And what have we done with it? Where have the prophecies of our sons and daughters brought us? Where are the visions of our young men and the dreams of our old men? God's Spirit is poured out even on slaves, women, and men. Yet more than 2,000 years later, so many of God's children still bear the burden, the scars of slavery and oppression because of the color of their skin, their country of origin, their gender, age, or poverty, while so many others bear the shame of doing nothing. Why are we holding back? For what are we waiting? The purpose of our being together is so we can go into the world and share the good news of God's saving power. The power to bring an end to injustice, division, and strife, that we might live together in unity and peace. Yet as Dr. King observed over 50 years ago, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour in America. Pentecost empowers the church to break free and dream, to see the world as God intends it to be. God's Spirit is poured out upon the church. Women and men, young and old, proclaim the good news of God's love, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. With the rush of a mighty, even violent wind and tongues of fire, The power of the Holy Spirit gathers the church from every nation under heaven and drives it out to the ends of the earth with a prophetic word. Christ is risen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now is the time for young men to see visions and old men to dream dreams. Now is the time for the oppressed women and men to prophesy. Pentecost shatters boundaries. National boundaries and ethnic divisions, racism and gender bias. Age isn't an issue. God's people are no longer a particular people living in a particular place, set apart from everyone else. God claims the world. Jews and Gentiles, women and men, young and old, wonders and signs will abound of the new heaven and earth God is creating by the power of the Holy Spirit when God's people of all races are free to dream together. Even Peter, the one shamed by a maid in the garden in Jesus' hour of need, Peter stands to preach. The wind, the flames, the ecstatic speech, Joel's prophecy is fulfilled. God's Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Beloved, if Peter could believe, why can't we? Why are we holding back? For what are we waiting? God's Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Seventy-two years ago, in a sermon entitled, "It is safe to murder Negroes," the Reverend Dr. Vernon Johns preached. I just want to remind you what the clearest and simplest of these great Ten Commandments is. Thou shalt not kill. The Birmingham paper says that you have a better chance in 1948 of being murdered in Alabama than anywhere in the U.S. A lot of the people doing the killing are the police officers who should know the law as well as anybody. The officer, Oris Thrash, killed Amos Starr for resisting arrest. Shot him in the back. So I guess he was resisting while running away. And right here in Montgomery, two police officers took a man, handcuffed him to a tree, and beat him. Didn't kill him, though. They got charged with assault. Just 2 weeks ago, another Montgomery policeman got it right. He shot and killed one Henry Lee for resisting arrest. The coroner ruled it justifiable homicide. All these cases were justifiable homicide. But you know, there is no justifiable homicide. God never spoke about justifiable homicide. He said, "Thou shalt not kill." He didn't say, "Thou shalt not kill unless you've got an excuse." He didn't say, "Thou shalt not kill unless you are a police officer." And he most assuredly did not say, "Thou shalt not kill unless you are white." Seventy-2 years later, not much has changed. It's still safe to murder black men. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Yasin Muhammad, Sean Reed, Stephen DeMarco Taylor, and William Green are but a few of the black men killed by law enforcement officers, active or retired, this year. If you know me, you know I have a great respect for those who protect and serve. I serve on our community coalition with other civic leaders and local and state law enforcement officers. But these lynchings continue because we let them. If we want them to stop, we have to stop them. Unlike those Christ forgave as he hung upon the cross, we know what we do. We know the jealousy, hatred, and fear that lives within our hearts. We know the words we speak to cause pain. We know the things we do to get an advantage. We can't close our eyes or refuse to hear when our family, friends, or civic leaders degrade and dehumanize people with the things they say and do. We must choose. Shall we live with blood on our hands, or God's Spirit flowing from our hearts? Beloved, we can't be together in one place today. But it's Pentecost, nevertheless. God's Spirit still blows as she wills, giving power to unexpected voices. God's Spirit still burns as she wills, bringing life to hearts frozen with fear or once filled with hate. God's Spirit still loves as she wills, crossing boundaries and breaking down walls. Beloved, we're not together in one place. But God's Spirit is poured out upon us wherever we are. We must do whatever it takes to share God's love with all people. The disciples weren't drunk. They were inspired. It's time we are too. By God's grace, may the riotous fires burning all across our nation be transformed to the righteous flames of Pentecost. So all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved and safe. Thanks be to God.